The light is going to show up not only the beauty of God's creation, but if something like light takes place, you're also going to see flaws. If you go to a jeweler and if you have some diamonds and you put it on a black velvet, the jeweler will show you the beauty of those diamonds and those stones, and they'll put a bright light over it, and you'll look at them and you go, wow, these things are beautiful. But if there's a little flaw, the light will also not only show up the beauty of the diamond, but it might show up the flaws of the diamond.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, part two of a message entitled, When a Country Needs Hope. If you find yourself concerned about the direction our country is taking, don't lose hope. Pastor Wayne will continue to share the vital role you play in bringing about godly change in America. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, When a Country Needs Hope.
Paul the Apostle felt that that kingdom, that circle on the inside, was so important that even at the end of his life, with his last dying breaths, he would be speaking about this kingdom of God, a nation within a nation. And these outer nations will pass, but this must continue to grow and be strong so that wherever God puts us, we will be a blessing to that nation, not a curse. Although they will try to diminish it, we must remain. So Paul, in the last chapter of the book of Acts and the last verse, does this towards the end of his life. Paul lived his final days, here it is, welcoming all who came to him. He was preaching to them what? The kingdom of God, teaching them concerning the Lord Jesus with all openness and unhindered. So it was so important. He said, you guys are more important to this nation than you realize. If you start to dilute, that's why the nation does. If you lose your morals and moorings, that's why they will. But if you continue to love God and be devoted to Him and you begin to expand the kingdom, this nation will be blessed. So when we say God bless America, we're actually saying, Lord, expand the church, the kingdom of God. And through that, this nation will be blessed. You look at the nations where there is no nation within the nation. There is no kingdom of God. It's very dark. But America became great because the church continued to expand and influence every corner of our government. Now when it's doing this, you're starting to see the immorality and things going crazy. And I bet many of you sit around the dining room table and think, shaking your head, what in the world is going on? Did you know that even Disney has stopped saying, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys? They can't say that anymore. They just say, all of you genders, whatever you want to be, welcome to Disney. I mean, it's just, we're shaking our heads going, this is a crazy country. Why? Because the kingdom of God may be shrinking. Because even churches have that messed up. The border is not clear anymore. So the first thing, if you would write down, how can we be a hope to our nation? Number one, remember, this is one of the primary assignments of the kingdom of God, is would you write it down? We are to be the pillar and support of the truth. A pillar and support of the truth. To be a pillar and support means you hold steady the truth. Because we live in a post-truth era, and people will decide what the truth is based on their own desire. If they say, history is, I don't see it as real beneficial. Let's just remove stuff. So then they have cancel culture. But wait a minute. The truth is it happened. Yeah, but we don't want it to have happened. So that's the best. No, stop. And I believe that I'm a different gender because I believe it and I choose it. Well, that's not truth. You're biologically different. Well, no. It might be wrong for you. It's right for me. I think, where in the world did all of that come from? Because there's no absolute truth anymore. Things aren't truthful or untruthful. It's whatever you decide. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. The serpent appears to Eve in the garden. And the serpent said to Eve, hey, take of this fruit. We don't know if it's an apple, but we'll take this fruit and eat it. And Eve said, oh, God said that we can eat of any fruit in the garden except the ones in the middle of the garden, the tree of good and evil, and of knowledge and of good and evil. And Satan says something really interesting. He actually refutes God's word and says, did God really mean that? Let me define what God meant. Did you catch that? Let me tell you what he said. Let me redefine truth for you. Because God is truth. Yeah, but let me define it. And so let's read it together. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. When she said, if I eat of this, you'll die. Read this, go. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you know what he was saying? No, you won't die when you eat this thing. No, let me tell you what God's saying. You really don't need God to tell you right from wrong or good from evil. No, you can decide for yourself what is right or wrong. If it's right for you, it's right. If it's not right for you, it's not right. You call the shots. In fact, you'll be like God. You don't need God. You are God. You see that? And so Eve goes, wow, dude. And she chomps on it. And then everything goes sour after that. Satan still does that today. You don't need the Bible to tell you what's right or wrong. You can decide for yourself what's right or wrong. The Bible is a good book, but you decide. And if it's right for you, it's right. If it's not right for you, it's not right. So here it is. Watch this. It says that the church will be the pillar and support of the truth. I love how the Living Bible says it. It says the church upholds the truth. So watch this. I've got two hands in front of you. Now, if this were just one hand and this hand on one hand, it says, if it's right for you, it's right. If you want to do it, it's fine. If you want to call yourself something else, it's fine. If you want to redefine history, that's how it should be. If you want to cancel this and say this is better than that, this ethnicity is better than that, and whatever matters. I've got a new one. It's not Black Lives Matter. It's Eternal Lives Matter. Because in the end, it's only what's eternal, right? And so, but I think I should prioritize one color above another and say this matters more than these. Okay, if you're the only one thinking, and if that's the only theory out there, it seems really right. Because all my friends are saying that. The gym I go to says that. The businesses, Amazon or Apple, all say that. Well, pretty soon, whoa, that's like God. Yeah, you'll be like God. You can decide what's right or wrong. Yeah, but I know the Bible says this, but this is the way it is today, isn't it? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, you don't need God to tell you what's right or wrong. Now watch this. The church comes up, and we're not to take the truth and beat people on the head with it. That we are not to be weaponizing the truth. We are not to be using the truth as a battering ram or a beating stick. It says we are to be pillars and support of the truth, which means you just hold it. Yeah, don't hit anybody with it. Just hold it. Just hold it. Yeah, they're going to try and push you over. It's called the apostasy. But don't. Just hold it. Just hold it. Don't break your rank. Just hold it. And the truth will do its own work. Now, here's why people don't like that. And the church is being pushed away with laws, etc. Watch this. If this is saying everything is cool, you can do whatever, call yourself whatever. It's like, whoa, what about the Bible? No. Just this. And if that's all they know, if that's all our young people know, then to them, that's truth. Right? Because that's it. I don't have a choice. Now watch this. When the truth of the Word of God comes up, they don't like that. Why? Because now I have to make a choice. Which one is truth? So the world says, yeah, excuse me, you need to move. Oh, no, we're just going to stay right here. No. You're making me feel a little convicted. Could you just go away? No, we're just going to hang tight right here. You don't beat these people with it. You don't push them away. You just stand. As Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God, and after having done all, stand. You are a pillar and support of the truth. Now these people are like this. Like, well, yeah, but we don't know where we're going. It kind of changes all the time here. And you need to quit just standing still. You need to dance with us. Start moving, because we believe this. No, I think we'll just stand here. No. Come on. You need. And then so there's some churches that go, oh, yeah, you know, we need to dance with them. We need to waltz with them a little bit, because we'd like to be liked by these people, and we'd like to be accepted by these people. And so we just start dancing like this. And so the church starts moving. Now watch this. There's going to be a day when God starts speaking to this one, just like he spoke to many of you when you were caught in the web of the world, as the scripture says. And you were caught in darkness. God spoke to you. And when God speaks to you, you're looking for a way home. You're looking for direction. But if the church is doing this, the church gives them no hope. Because you're just like me. You're just all over the place. I don't know where you stand. You're saying it's okay for me to do this sin stuff and do whatever I want to. But I don't feel right about that. Because God designed me in his image. Isn't that right? Yeah, well, you know, whatever. So then the church is no longer the hope of the world. Because it's dancing with the world and it's just as confused as the world. But watch this. When a church says no, even though they say, stop it. That's who we are. Get away. Stop it. Just kind of dilute yourself. No, we're a pillar in support of the truth. And the truth is, thy word is truth and the sum thereof. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. So even in heaven, the Bible is still going to be very valuable and very credible. So we just hold the truth because thy word is truth. And so this is going like this. And when someone says, I think God wants, he's knocking on at the door of my heart. And when a church is steady, they will find doorway. They will find direction. They will find hope and solace. They'll find a buoy in the darkness so that they can navigate their way to the throne of God and redemption takes place. God's going to be pulling people out of this shaking, confused world. And if there's a place, if there's not a place that's steady and has the truth, where will the world find hope? The church is the hope of the world. And so it's a place where we will just stand as the light. Now, sometimes the light is going to show up, not only the beauty of God's creation, but if something like light takes place, you're also going to see flaws. If you go to a jeweler, Ricky's here from Skies, and if you have some diamonds and you put it on a black velvet, the jeweler will show you the beauty of those diamonds and those stones, and they'll put a bright light over it, and you'll look at them and you go, wow, these things are beautiful under the light. But if there's beauty in those diamonds, if there's a little flaw, the light will also not only show up the beauty of the diamonds, but it might show up the flaws of the diamond. And sometimes we don't like that, because God's light not only shows the beauty of his plan and his glories and his promises, it might show up some of the flaws in me. And I don't like that. So that's why we need to, you know, the world kind of says, can you just disappear? And so we're going to mute you. And we're going to unfriend you. So this is all the world sees. And I want to control this narrative. But the church comes back up and they don't like that. But our assignment is to be a pillar and support of the truth. Not beat people on the head with it. Just stand. God will do the rest. Just stand. Because God's going to call people out of this, and they need to find a way home. And we need to be the mile markers. When that happens, you'll begin to understand why the church is so important. People find their way home. They're going to also see their flaws. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Yeah, yeah. And remember, God doesn't punish you for your sin. You're punished by your sin. That's why God rushes in and says, don't do it. I didn't design you to do well in sin. It messes you up. It messes your family, your future, everything. Well, why are you punishing me? I ain't. It's your choice. And that's why I want to show that up so you can make wiser, better choices. And without this, you won't. And that's why the devil wants this out of the way so he can control the narrative. But the church must stand. I have a funny story about the wages of sin is death. There's this lady, she was jogging down this old country road and saw this man, must have been 80, 90 years old, sitting on the front porch just smiling away. And she looked at him, man, he's got to be 80 or 90, but he looks like he's 60 or 70. I got to find out what his secret is to staying young. So she paused and ran in. She said, excuse me, sir, I didn't mean to bother you, but man, She said, "What's the secret of your youth?" He said, "Well, I drink and I cuss and I stay up late and I take drugs and I don't like God." She says, "Whoa, that's the opposite of what I believe." She said, "That's amazing." She said, "How old are you?" He said, 28. The wages of sin is death. It don't matter. The other thing about the church is not only are we the pillar and support of the truth. Just stand. The other is, it's a place where people can find Jesus. It's a place where people can find Jesus. Why? Because the world is so topsy-turvy. And he says to the people of God, just fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, Hebrews 12. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you fix your eyes on the world, you'll go crazy too. But if you start fixing your eyes back on Jesus, everything calms. And when people come, they'll find Jesus because they'll start to see him as you see him. One of the things we make a commitment to here at New Hope is we will fix our eyes on Jesus here. Not on political stuff. We'll explain it so that you'll understand, but we're not going to be involved in all of that. We're not going to get confused by the world, no matter how crazy it goes. It's going to cycle out. But there's one entity that God places that's stable and doesn't change. That's the church of the living God. And we must be pillars and supports of the truth so when God calls these people, they can find Jesus here. And they're going to find that mile marker in the church and see Christ. But we have to fix our eyes on Jesus. And our commitment is we will do exactly that. You say, well, what if we mess up? The scripture says, if you mess up, be a people who continue to fix your eyes on Jesus and repent. Get back, correct yourself, correct back to Jesus. And when we say that we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, it doesn't mean that our eyes never go off of Jesus. It means as soon as it does, it comes back on. We're committed to the Word of God. And when we mess up, we don't demote the Word of God to our experience. We change our experience to match the Word of God. And that's why we have this Bible creed. In fact, if you would take out this little bookmark, I'd like you to put it in your Bible. And we're going to say this more often in the future. So we're going to practice it right now. And so if you would take out your Bible, because we're saying we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. And Jesus is the Word, as it were. John says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So what Jesus says here is what we're going to say. So I want you to take your Bible out and hold it up here. If it's your iPhone, take your iPhone out. So right here, all right? And I want us to say this, and it'll come up on the screen as well. But let's repeat this. Ready? Go. This is my Bible, the Word of God. And I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do. For I am a citizen of heaven. Remember that. And we'll repeat that as often as we can to remind us. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus by holding this up as a pillar in support of the truth and not take our eyes off of it. Let me finish with this story. I was in Japan and we went to this carnival ride, and there was this one house called the Bikkuri House. Now the word Bikkuri means surprise. And so it's just a house. People filed into it like a cabin, maybe a 1,000 square foot, maybe 700 square foot. They go in, and when they come out, like 5 minutes later, they're throwing up. And I thought, wow, that's a good ride. So I thought, I'm going to go. So I get in line with all these Japanese people, and we kind of go in. And interesting, it's just a house on the inside, like a living room with a dining room table here. And so you go into this house, and you sit on this long bench, like a church pew. And it's a little off the ground, so it's held by a pole that goes from one end of the house to the other, and this pew kind of rocks like a rocking chair. So I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. So you go under this pole, and you sit like here, like this, and you grab onto this pole, and this long pew And it just kind of rocks. I thought, oh, this is kind of neat, you know? So I thought, what's so scary about this? Why are people throwing up? So they close the door, they lock it. And little do we know that the inside of the house is separated from the outside of the house. And the whole house is, everything is bolted down and glued down because the inside of the house starts turning around like this around us. So the dining room table goes up and down. And pretty soon this thing is going so fast, you think you're going nuts. And people are going, ah! And really, you're sitting on a pew rocking like this. And I started looking at the stuff going around and around, and my stomach started to gurgle, and I thought, I'm going to throw up. One girl did, on her lap, just threw up. I thought, oh, man, this is crazy. And then I thought, I've got to fix my eyes on something that doesn't move. The pole in front of me. So I looked at that pole, and that thing kept going. I thought, oh, this is not scary at all, because I ain't moving. Everyone else had fixed their eyes on the turning house, and they were getting sick and confused, and I was fine. And it slowed down, and then I looked up and walked out, and they're all throwing up and barfing, and I'm thinking, that wasn't that bad. But the secret was, you don't fix your eyes on stuff that's topsy-turvy. You fix your eyes on that which doesn't move. And we get to fix our eyes on Jesus here at New Hope. And when you do, the world can go topsy-turvy, but you'll be absolutely fine. That's the church. That's a nation within a nation. People who have fixed their eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what we want to do. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, When a Country Needs Hope, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.
Let's sing when we've been there.